Good morning. Opening share of the Zman is not on the topic of the Zman at all. Our topic, we're still in the Shemitah land for the next several weeks, but there's a particular issue that is a challenge from now until May 9th, and it's going to happen again next year, God willing, as well, unless Moshiach comes and there is a change in the Yom Tov Sheni system. But barring that, the issue is the clash between Israel and the Gola in terms of Kriyas HaTorah. The situation in a nutshell is that the eighth day of Pesach outside of Israel this year was a Shabbos, and therefore in Israel they laid Parsha Shemini last week, while outside of Israel we were laying Aser to Aser and Kol HaBachor, and so now we are off by a Parsha this week in Israel, they are laying Tazia Mitzarah, and so on and so forth, until you get to May 9th. If you look at the sheet that I sent out, you'll actually see I gave you the schedule for when we converge again. So on the 9th of May, Shabbos the 9th of May, outside of Israel, they're going to lay in Emor. In Israel, they will lay in only Bahar. They're going to split Bahar B'chukosai. And then on the 16th of May, in Israel, they'll do B'chukosai. While outside of Israel, they're doubling them. And that way, everybody will be merged. The 23rd of May, we'll all be laying in the same Harsha again, and that will be Midbar. And then the next day is Shavuos. Shavuos is indeed Matzai Shabbos. Which raises other issues in terms of hachana and napping on Shabbos for Matzoi Shabbos and so on, to be discussed by Shaitim. Okay, but there are a number of questions that I'd like to address here. The first question is, why is it that in Israel they are waiting to split they're waiting to split the double until Bar Mechukosai? If they split this week, if they just did Tazria this week and Mitzvah next week, we'd all be on the same page. Why are they waiting until Bahar B'chukosai in order to coordinate? That's question number one. Question number two is, let's say last Shabbos, any of us were in Israel for Pesach, and let's say we had not made Aliyah and we were not B'nai Eretz Yisrael, and therefore our true Parsha, so to speak, was indeed the reading for Yom Tov Sheni, meaning reading for the 8th day of Pesach, but we went to an Israeli minyan, could we get an aliyah for Parsha Shemini and fulfill the obligation for all the people who are there? The third question is, let's say any of us goes to Israel between now and May 23rd. So can we fulfill Kriyas HaTorah by going to shul and hearing a parsha that's different from the one that we are hearing in Chutz Laretz? Do we have any mitzvah of going there and hearing that Kriyas HaTorah? And then finally, the Shnayim Mikra Mess, right? The question of what parsha you do if you travel back and forth between Israel and Chutz Laretz between now and May 23rd, when do you actually learn the parsha of the week? Which parsha are you in fact doing? What if you are an Israeli, so you heard Tazria Mitzvah, let's say, tomorrow, and then you come back here where we're learning Tazria Mitzvah the following week? Are you, the nightmare Groundhog Day, doing Shnayim Mikra for Tazria Mitzvah twice? How exactly does this work? It could be worse. It could be matas masse, but still. So, those are the questions that I'd like to address. I'm not 100% sure we'll get to the Shnayim Mikra issue, but hopefully we will. So, the first question, the schedule, why is it that they're splitting Bahar B'chukosai when they could have split Tazria Mitzorah this week? They could split Achrimos Kedoshim next week. Why are they waiting until Bahar B'chukosai? So, the rule that you follow in general in terms of scheduling the parashios is that you want to make sure that you lane certain parashios before Shavuos and certain parashios before Rosh Hashanah. I gave you the Gemara and Megillah, source Aleph on the sheets. Ezra Tiki and Len Yisrael Shu Karin Klala Shabbataras Kohenim Kodem Atzeres. Ezra enacts that we read the klalos of Taras Kohanim. That means the tochacha, the warning of punishment that's in Parshas Bichukosai. So we want to read that before Shavuos. And the ones in Mishneh Torah, which means Parshas Kisavo, the second appearance of the tochacha, before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah there meaning Aleph Tishrei. My time of why? Amar Abayim Timere Shlagish Kedisha Tichla Shana Bakilolosea. So that's the year and its curses will end. What does that mean? Well, Kisavo, with its curses, is before Rosh Hashanah, that I get. So let the curses be over before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we start off with a nice, happy expectation for the year. What does he mean when he says the Klelos, the Tochacha that's in B'chukosai before Shavuos? What does that have to do with ending the year?
Right, because for a woman, it's different. For a woman, it.
What does it have to do with ending the year and its curses? What curses? I mean, the curses we know, they're the ones that are Michal Kosev, but what ending what year? So the Gemara continues there to say that it's talking about the fact that on Shavuos we're judged for the Peros Ha'ilan, for the fruit of the trees, as symbolized by the wheat that we bring for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So that wheat is considered to be a tree that has applications in other areas, the Hadas being being wheat according to one view, and so on and so forth. But the point for us is that we want Bechukosai to be read before Shavuos, and we want Kisavo to be read before Rosh Hashanah. Focusing on Bechukosai being read before Shavuos, Tosfos, on that Gemara, as well as the Rambam in source base, say, the actual minhag is that we don't just want to finish the curses before Yom Tov, but we want to put some separation between the curses and Yom Tov. So therefore, before Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, we actually read not only Kisavo, but we actually read Nitzavim Vayeh. And depending on how Shabbos falls out, in terms of is the first day of Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, is Yom Kippur Shabbos, that will determine exactly the breakdown of Nitzav Vayelech and Ha'azidim. But the bottom line is, it's not just Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, you're reading Nitzav Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah as well. Follow? That's in terms of Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. In terms of Shavuos, we actually read Bamidbar before Shavuos. We want that gap between Bechukosai and Shavuos. So what that means is the only thing we really care about in terms of these parshios that are coming up in these weeks to come, the only thing we care about is making sure that we're going to read Bamidbar before Shavuos. We don't care about anything else. Synchronization of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is not on the radar. So this is the only thing I care about, is making sure that Bamidbar is going to be read before Shavuos, and I don't want to be in a situation in which I'm going to read Nusso before Shavuos that has applications in other scenarios. It does happen on occasion in a leap year, but in general, you want to be close enough to the Kalalos that you recognize we're finishing the Kalalos before Shavuos. So you don't want two Parshios in between. But since the only thing I care about is getting in Bamidbar before Shavuos, so at the last minute, I'll do it. By getting Bahar Bechukosai to be split in Israel. Actually, that's the case here. I'm sorry. When I said to you before, we don't want to get Nusso before Shavuos if we can avoid it. That's why they will split Bahar Bechukosai on the 9th and 16th of May, in order to make sure that they will have Bamidbar before Shavuos. Or to put it differently, and I think a little more clearly, when Israel splits Bahar and Bechukosai, their goal is not to synchronize with Chutz La'aretz. That's actually not what they're interested in. Their goal is to make sure that they'll read Bamidbar before Shavuos.
And not Nusso,
correct. Bamidbar and not Nusso. They want Bamidbar on the Shabbos before Shavuos.
Right. Is it specifically they want Bamidbar or they don't want Nusso? So they want to start from Bamidbar.
Right, they want Bamidbar and not Bechukosai, yeah. And they want Bamidbar and not Nusso. The ideal scenario is you're laning Bamidbar before Shavuos, on the Shabbos that precedes Shavuos. So that's all it's about. They don't care about synchronizing with Chutz La'aretz. It's not an issue. The Nitei Gavriel, in his third volume on Pesach, in Perek Mem, it's Ha'ara Aleph, records that there were communities that actually did synchronize earlier. There were some historically, splitting Tezri and Mitzora, but the general practice was to wait until right before Shavuos to guarantee that you have this one parsha between the Tocha and Shavuos. So why don't they care about synchronizing? Why don't they care? And why? Because no one traveled back and forth, folks. I mean, really, how many people did you have? What numbers did you have of Jews who were traveling back and forth between Israel and outside of Israel? It wasn't such a big deal. Today, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's a major issue. But historically, you didn't have this as a problem in any real numbers, such that, you know, we're going to start worrying about when we're synchronizing. So the only thing they cared about was making sure that Bamidbar is the Shabbos before Shavuos. Okay, check. We split Bechukosai, Bahar Bechukosai, and now we did it. They weren't trying to synchronize. As someone suggested, actually, I used this when I was in New York. So they asked me to give a shiur, so I used this there. And so someone asked me, well, why don't we reverse it? In other words, why don't we look at it as we should be trying to catch up with Israel? And so what we should do is double up somewhere. But the answer is we can't.
We double up everything we can.
We double up already. Right. We are leading Tazria. We get Shmini in. We double up Tazria Mitzara. We double up Bahar Mos Kedoshim. We double up Bahar B'Chukosai. You cannot tell me we're going to do Emor Bahar B'Chukosai in one Shabbos. It will be a lynch mob. So realistically, that's the way it works. Okay.
But still, it's only non-satisfactory because it's just, okay, we're just going to procrastinate as soon as possible. I mean, there's really no difference. If they did it to Jem and Sora, they could be doing that for the purpose of a Midbar.
Right, except you make your changes when you need to make your changes.
Okay. There's no imperative. You need to make it then, meaning
I have to split
between now and then, you have to make one change.
Yes.
So you're just assuming we're pushing it off all the way to the end. Just
right.
Because we like to procrastinate.
Well, it's not between now and then. It could have been last month also. There was no synchronization required before Pesach. Not synchronization, but there was no parsha that had to be matched to a Shabbos before Pesach.
Yeah, but then what would they like start splitting up by Yaakov, meaning?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It didn't have to be that.
Yeah.
That's going to become relevant when we discuss Kavod B'Harshios. But that's the answer to our first question of why then. The answer is because that's when they're doing it on behalf of Shavuos. That brings us to our second question. Can an Anglo living in Israel... I'm not living in Israel, I should say. Can an Anglo who happens to be in Israel for Yom Tov get an aliyah for Shabbos Parsha Shmini? What would you say? Can he get called up to the Torah? I'll have an opinion.
Yes.
You say yes because you read the Maror Mekumos. But the why couldn't he get an aliyah? What's the reason not to get
it? Kind of like the, like a guy from Kosaris would do one day, but he gets it for
well, there, it affects his personal practices.
Yeah, so
right?
He's getting an aliyah for Parsha he wouldn't usually be.
So he's getting aliyah for Parsha he would not normally be leading. Okay. So maybe. And in fact, there is such a concern going the other way. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses the case of an Israeli who is outside of Israel on a Yom Tov Sheni, which is the eighth day, the last day, not a Yom Tov Sheni, which is also Chol HaMoed, and which is not Shabbos. So in other words, let's say Pesach started on, I want to work Tuesday, okay? Let's say Pesach started on Tuesday. So the eighth day of Pesach outside of Israel is a Tuesday. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman asks the question of an Israeli who is outside of Israel for whatever reason, on that eighth day of Pesach, which is Tuesday. So for him, it's not Yom Tov at all. But he decides, I'm going to go to shul. I want to see what these primitive people outside of Israel do on this eighth day thing. He wants to be there for Yizkor. I don't know. For some reason, he wants to be in shul. The Gabbai sees him and says, ah, we have a guest. I'd like to give the guest an aliyah. And before he can do anything about it, the Gabbai calls him up. Saw the name on the talis bag, whatever it was. The guy, one of those shuls where they call by number. Yamod Chamishi, and he points to him. So now the question is, what does he do? For him, it's not Yom Tov at all, like you're saying, right? So what is he supposed to do at that stage? So if you take a look on the sheet, first of all, source Gimel on the sheet, I just brought you for fun. We're going to be seeing the Chuvos of Rabbi Bezalel Stern on this topic from his Bezalel Chachma, Volume 1 of Bezalel Chachma. And what I wanted to show you there is just he has a series of 9 Chuvos that all deal with this topic in one way, shape, or form, which it seems to me we're not actually answering actual questions that he was facing, but he just wanted to talk about the topic. Because if you read down the list, you find that he's got everything. So his first one is simple, right? A chutznik who is in Israel getting an aliyah on Yom Tov Sheni, which is Shabbos. Nothing to do with split parshios or whatever, just getting an aliyah on Yom Tov Sheni, which happens to be Shabbos. So it is a split parsha, in effect, right? They're reading Shabbos, he's supposed to be leading Yom Tov. But then Gimel, he has, what about on a boat on Yom Tov Sheni, that is Shabbos, or Monday or Thursday, and they're traveling from Chutz Laaretz to Israel? And then Dalet is, what about Kriyas HaTorah on a boat on Yom Tov Sheni, on Shabbos, or Monday or Thursday, and they're traveling from Israel to Chutz Laaretz? So same question, just going the other direction. Then he's got Kriyas HaTorah on a boat on Monday or Thursday for people traveling from Chutz Laaretz to Israel on Shavuos, such that there's a different Kriyas HaTorah. And then he has the same exact question, but you're going from Israel to Chutz Laaretz. And then, and so on and so forth. So I just thought that was really interesting that he asked for 9 Shavuos in a row. But Source Dalet is the one that deals with our question. The poor guy who we've left hanging, it's the eighth day of Pesach for him, right? But he is, it's the eighth day of Pesach, not for him, he's an Israeli. It's the eighth day of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz, and he's an Israeli, they're in shul, and they call him up. So what does he do now? So Source Dalet, Vim Karuhu Lalos, if they call him up to the Torah, Imhu Yom Echod L'Chol HaMoed Be'eretz Yisrael Ya'alav Yivarech. Say if it's the first day of Chol HaMoed in Israel, so he has a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, so good, let him get the Aliyah. Achtosh lo yalo lamaftir, but he shouldn't get maftir. Why? Why shouldn't he get maftir? Nochi of Torah for him. Hello, it's Chol HaMoed for him. So he shouldn't get maftir. Avo b'shar yamim, but on other days, meaning Shmini Shel Pesach, second day of Shavuos, or you know, presumably Simchas Torah, Yishtamet b'midas ha'efshar milalos, he should avoid getting up for his aliyah, av lachar shekaru, even after he's been called up, which we never do. If a person is called up to the Torah, it's a very, very bad thing to not give that person the aliyah. It doesn't matter that you called up the wrong guy. You thought you were calling up so-and-so, and you ended up using the wrong name. You called up his son instead of the father, whatever it was, doesn't matter. That person goes up to the Torah. We don't call people up and then not have them go up to the Torah. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, in this case, you do. In this case, the Israeli who is getting an aliyah on a day that he has no Kriyas HaTorah, he actually should not go up and get the aliyah. However, the key note here is that he's dealing with a case in which there is no mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah for him at all. I'll show you what I mean by that by taking a look at the Magen Avram that we have in Source Hay. On a Tanis Tzibur, right, on a day when people are supposed to be fasting, so we do Kriyas HaTorah, assuming we have a minion of fasters. Right? Assuming we have a minion, first of all. But assuming that we have fasters, that's what we do, is we do the Kriyas HaTorah, Vayachal from Parshas Kisisa. If it's Monday or Thursday, doesn't matter, we still do Vayachal. What happens if you are a non-faster and you get called up to the Torah on a fast day? So Rav Avram Gambiner there in the Magen Avram says the following. He's talking about where it's a fast day that happens to also be Monday or Thursday. So he says, nearly the Bashak was mutter lalos. He says, you're allowed to get the aliyah. Afal pisha dochen parashas ha-shavua v'karen v'yachal, granted that we push off the parasha and instead lane v'yachal, kisisa mikomakom al-kopanim karen b'torah below atan is, nonetheless, you'd be reading from the Torah anyway. Right? Imagine that the shul didn't have the fasters. So what would it do? It would lane the regular lane for Monday or Thursday. So you get up and you get this aliyah because you have Kriyas HaTorah. The Israeli who's outside of Israel on a day that isn't Yom Tov for him, and it's not Monday or Thursday, and it's not Shabbos, has no such thing as Kriyas HaTorah. That's why Shlomo Zalman says, don't take the aliyah. Kriyas HaTorah is irrelevant for you.
So if it's the same question with a fast day, then by Mincha, assumingly, you would not take it.
Correct. Fast day at Mincha, you would not be able to take the aliyah, just like the Israeli who doesn't have Kriyas HaTorah, precisely. But if you have Kriyas HaTorah, then Gesundheit, you can actually do it, you can get the aliyah, and that's the argument that Betzel HaChachma, or Betzel HaStern, brings in our discussion. He says that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, is actually relevant for the Ben Chutz La'aretz who's in Israel. And that's what I brought you in Source Vav. He says, Avshe tikkun chazal likros b'yom tov shecholios b'shabbos b'inyana de yom tov davka v'lo b'parshas ha-shavua ha-shayachal ha-os ha-shabbos klal. He says, even though the sages did say that when Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide like they did outside of Israel last Shabbos, so we read Yom Tov laning, we don't read the parsha of that Shabbos. Mikomakom lo akru chazal chovas hakriya shel Shabbos legamri gam b'chol Yom Tov lios, but they did not eliminate the obligation for laning parsha Shmini. V'im lo kenis, they'll prove it to you. If it were true that there was no Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah at all, they would only have five aliyahs. Now the truth of the matter is that I question that, because the reason that it's seven aliyahs is because of the Shabbos status, not because of the Kriya of Shabbos. It's because it is Shabbos. Go back to the Gemara Megillah that talks about when you do five, when you do six, when you do seven. The reason we have seven aliyahs is because it's Shabbos, not because of the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos. Nonetheless, his argument...
What do you mean? Because of Shabbos, not because of Kriyas HaTorah.
Meaning, the reason why we have seven aliyahs on Shabbos is because the day has Kedusha.
Okay.
We have a hierarchy of the numbers of aliyos based on the level of the day that it's on. So 5 for Yom Tov, 6 for Yom Kippur, 7 because it's Shabbos. It's because today is Shabbos. It's not because this is a mitzvah of Kriyas Torah of Shabbos such that the mitzvah of Kriyas Torah of Shabbos requires 7 aliyos. It's not a din in Kriyas HaTorah. It's a din in Kavod Shabbos, so to speak. That's my understanding. I wasn't so compelled by this, by his argument. Nonetheless, he says that's the idea. The Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos is still valid. It's just that we override it to do Yom Tov. To which he then asks, well, then why don't we lane everything? Why last Shabbos didn't we lane Kol HaBachor? You don't need to throw in Aser to Aser in order to make the number of Aliyos, because what we're going to do is we'll actually lane Parsha Shmini. Why didn't we do Parsha Shmini? And then let's say Maftir or something, we'll throw in. We'll do 3 Sifrei Torah. We'll throw in the Yom Tov Kriya as well. So he answers, Nimtza the Kol Shachol Yom Tov Lios B'Shabbos Yesh Kan Chovash Tei Kriyos. He says, if Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide, then there is an obligation for 2 Kriyos, Kriya Shal Shabbos and Kriya Shal Yom Tov. V'itik Shalom Atik Nuim Kin Chazal Likros B'Shal Yom Tov Bilvad V'lo B'Shal Shabbos Gamkin. And if you're going to ask me, then why is it that they didn't say read both? Nero Lefiyani is Daiti Pashut Mishum Yidei Chov Asak Kriya the Shabbos Yotzin Meikar Adin V'Kriyas Chav Al Psukim L'Zayin Gavri Gimel Psukim L'Chol Echad V'Yachad. He says, you know why? This one we're going to expand on in a couple of minutes. He says, because the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is not lane this parsha. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is lane 7 aliyos, 3 psukim per aliyah. That's it. So therefore, when I did that out of my Yom Tov laning from Kol HaBachor, I fulfilled my mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Granted that the Kriya of Shabbos, Parsha Shmini, is relevant for that day, the reading of Parsha Shmini isn't really the reading of Parsha Shmini. The reading of Parsha Shmini is really 7 aliyos with 3 psukim each. And you did it. And finished. And you don't have any obligation to your Parsha Shmini per se. So what he's really done is he has said something and then sort of reversed himself. On the one hand, he said, when you lay in on Yom Tov, you are actually obligated to hear Shmini. But what I mean by that is not that you're obligated to hear Shmini. What I mean by that is you're obligated to hear 7 aliyos of 3 psukim each, which you did with the Kriya of Yom Tov. And therefore, whether you are a Ben Chutz Laretz or Ben Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever they are laning, as long as you get 7 aliyos and 3 psukim, you're fine, and you can get the aliyah and so on. That's his argument.
Backtracking. I don't think he had that assumption in the first place. When he said initially you have a Kriya Shal Shabbos, it didn't mean Kriya Shmini Shal Shabbos. It meant Kriya Shal Shabbos.
Then why did he say Mikomakum lo akru chazal chovas hakriya shel Shabbos legamri? It sounded like he meant the parsha. No?
I don't know. Kriya Shal, no, because the way, I just thought the assumption that he's saying at the end is the same as the beginning. Kriya Shal Shabbos all along means 7 and 21. And he never got rid of that in the first place, and that's why even though relating to Yom Tov,
I have to go back to the full Shuvah to see that, but I'm also bothered by his language then, and when he says you have an obligation for 2 Kriyos, Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's not really true. What you have is an obligation of Shabbos, and once you do the Shabbos one, you're automatically fulfilling the Yom Tov one, because you've defined your Shabbos one as 7 readings of the Psukim, and your Yom Tov one is 5 readings of the Psukim. Unless you're going to tell me Yom Tov is different because you have an Inyan as the Yom Tov.
So I think that's what, because what he ends up saying through the full Tshuva, later on, he says that he goes through these theoretical cases. Let's say you weren't able, let's say Shabbos comes in the Kliflar.
Yeah, I was going to get and you weren't.
Right, and so if you're going to talk about it, then I don't.
Yeah.
Because he ends up saying that you wouldn't lane for Shabbos. You wouldn't lane for Shabbos.
Right.
So he ends up really merging the two of them together. And I think the idea of the merging is saying that the content is going to be Yom Tov while the numbers might fall.
Right. Right. I hear that. So I'll talk about what Josh is going to say, because it's my next line here anyway. He gives you practical applications of saying that both Shabbos and Yom Tov are relevant. He points out that the Gemara in Megillah gives us the following scenario. Let's say they don't have a Sefer Torah, but they have a chumash. And what they mean by chumash is not our printed chumashim. What he means is you have a cloth that has a complete chumash, and it happens to be the one that you're supposed to lean from. So there is value to leaning from that Chumash. And so based on that, he says, let's say it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, and you have a Sefer Torah which has a mistake in the Chumash that has the Yom Tov leaning. So what do? So he says, well, you can lean your Shabbos leaning, because your Shabbos leaning is relevant, and that one is from a Chumash that is full, and that is accurate. I don't remember him giving the opposite case, though, did he?
What was the opposite?
Well, your mistake is in your Shabbos. Well, what I meant, that won't come up. The other case that he brings is the case of a Baal Kriya. What if your Baal Kriya doesn't know the Yom Tov leaning? The Baal Kriya, for whatever reason, trained and learned Shabbos Parsha. He learned Shmini. He didn't learn Kol Bechor Aser Ta'asir. Or he doesn't know Aser Ta'asir. He only grew up Kol Bechor. So he said, I can do Shmini for you. And your situation is you have no one who can sort of feed him the notes as he goes along, and no one who can correct him if he makes mistakes. So he says, okay, so let him learn the Shabbos Kriya, because it is still relevant for you. And based on this, he says, you are allowed to get the Aliyah. It is a Kriya that's relevant for you, and the same permissive ruling appears in the Nitei Gavriel in Pesach Hilek Gimel, Perek Mem, also in the Kafachayim Kuflamid Hey Hey, Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky, Irakodesh Vamikdash, the third volume, page 352, the Ber Moshe, who is the brother of Rabbi Zalo Stern, the two of them are brothers. The Ber Moshe is the Deborah Tzidah, Rabbi Moshe Stern, and then the Telah Chachma is Rabbi Zalo Stern. So the Ber Moshe records it also, the Chuvas Kinyan Torah, Yom Sheni Kilchaso. The answer is that he is allowed to get the Aliyah as long as, because we say that he has this element of Kriyas HaTorah for that day. And that brings us to the third question, which is the main question. The third question, which is also going to involve this question of whether there is a mitzvah of leaning a particular parsha on a particular day. He said the following question. You are a Ben Chutz La'aretz. You go to Israel between now and May 23rd. You can't get a minion of B'nai Chutz La'aretz together to lay in the Parsha from Chutz La'aretz. We'll talk about whether there's any value in doing that. But right now we're assuming you're not getting a Chutznik minion together. Is there value when you go into shul and hearing the wrong, so to speak, Kriyas HaTorah? Right? I go, let's say next Shabbos I am in Israel. They are going to be leaning Achar Mos Kedoshim. If I were back here, I'd be leaning Tazria Mitzvah. I'm only in Israel for a few days. So is there value in me hearing Tazria Mitzvah and hearing Achar Mos Kedoshim with them, knowing that next week I'm going to come back to Toronto and hear Achar Mos Kedoshim here? So there are two reasons to say that yes, you should. There is value in you hearing Achar Mos Kedoshim there. What are the two reasons? One of them we already know, because we've heard him say it. Why is it valuable for me to hear Achar Mos Kedoshim in Israel if I'm just going to hear it when I come back here? Oh, come on.
The
chiyuv
is to hear specific.
Right. Stern has already told us. The chiyuv is not to hear a specific parsha. The chiyuv is seven aliyos, three psukim each. You get plenty of that in Achar Mos Kedoshim, no shortage. That's one reason. I'm going to come back to that reason, because first I want to present his other point, which is a major issue in the way we understand Kriyas HaTorah. And that is, he says, guess what? There's no personal mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah anyway. The earliest references that we find to a public Kriyas HaTorah, well, the very earliest one is Hakel, right? In Parshas Vayelech, where we're told that every 7 years the king has to read out sections to the people from the Sefer Torah. That's the earliest time we find a mitzvah involving public Torah reading, explicitly in the Chumash. The next time we find it, I think, is actually Sefer Nehemiah, the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, when Ezra does a public reading of the Sefer Torah. It's in Nehemiah Perek Ches. That's the one that gives us, at least according to some, the practice of going to the water for Tashlich, because Ezra leans from the Sefer Torah. He reads the Sefer Torah for everybody on Rosh Hashanah at the Shar HaMayim, the gate where they bring the water for the Bay. Or that's one explanation of what Shar HaMayim is anyway. For the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
Just a question. It could be that actually that second reason of his maybe answered this, but then are you over anything for missing Tazria Mitzvah?
So we have to talk about that. It's a good question. Hold the thought. Yeah.
With King Yoshua, didn't they? Is that not his Torah?
They find a Torah, they bring it to him, he's shocked. They go to Hulda interprets what it was, right? And we find that he instructs them from it. But I don't know if we find...
I don't think he brings them all together.
I don't think he actually gathers them. I think he meets to the Kohanim and the Kohanim and those who are there, but I don't think there's a gathering in the way that Ezra's gathering is for the nation as a whole. So, Those are our earliest references. We have two different origin accounts for Kriyas HaTorah brought in the Gemara. If you take a look, I brought it on the sheet, source Zion, Yerushalmi. Moshe Hiskines, he saw Shukarn Batar Bashabasas, who be a Mtovim of Rosh Hadashim of Chol Shamoed. Moshe creates Kriyas HaTorah for Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, and Chol Hamoed, all the big celebrations. Shinamar, Vayidaber Moshe, as Moadeh Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, after it has already told us about Moshe teaching the Jews about the Moedim, it then repeats, and Moshe told the Jews the Moedim. So the idea is to tell them actually to do a Kriya associated with the Moed. You do a reading that is associated with whatever the Moed is. And then Ezra is Gil Yisrael Shu Karn Batar Bashenu Bachamishu Bashabbas Bamincha. Ezra is the one who creates Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha. Now, is that what you always heard as the origin of Kriyas HaTorah, Mondays and Thursdays, that Ezra was the one who enacted it?
No.
Right. The usual story is the one that I think Rashi even brings you at the end of Parshas Bishalach, right? When they get to Rafidim, and we're told that Rafidim is Rahu Yidei and Batara, their hands were weak in Torah, and that's why Amalek attacks, and so on. So the pasuk there says that they had gone shloshes yamim bamidbar v'lamatzu mayim. They had gone 3 days and they hadn't found mayim. So take a look at the Gemara here in Bava Kama, source Ches. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm mixing Rafidim in with Mara. The source says Asara Takanos Tikin Ezra Shakaran B'Mincha B'Shabbes V'Karan B'Sheni V'Chamishi. Right. So they have Ezra be the one to do Mincha on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday, just like we said in the Yerushalmi. And then the Gemara asks, "Shukarim b'sheni b'chamishi Ezra tikein." You're saying Ezra made that takana. V'ameikara habamitkena. It was already enacted before. Disanya, as the Brisa says, "Vayochus shlosh semim b'midbar v'lamatzu mayim." I threw myself off by saying end of Bishalach. That's why they went 3 days in the midbar, did not find water. This is indeed at Mara, and they complain and so on. But what the Gemara does in that ellipsis, the three dots there, what the Gemara does there is it goes to this ein mayim el Torah. Water is a reference to Torah. They had gone 3 days without Torah. Came and shalchu shloshes yamim below Torah nilu. They went 3 days without Torah, and at that point they became weak, and at that point they started to complain. Amdu neviim shebeinayim v'tiknu lehem shukarin b'shavas v'mafsikin becha b'shavas v'karin v'sheni v'mafsikin shlishi revi v'karin v'chamishi v'mafsikin erev Shabbos. They said, we're going to make sure you don't go 3 days without Torah. How? You're laning on Shabbos, you stop on Sunday. You're laning on Monday, you stop Tuesday, Wednesday. You're laning on Thursday, you stop Friday. K'dei shalo yalinu gimel yamim below Torah. So you don't go 3 days without Torah. So the Gemara says, that means that they're already doing this in Moshe's day. What is Ezra? So the Gemara answers, Meikara, Tiknu Chad Gavra Tlasav Suke. Maybe initially it was just one aliyah, since it was just make sure they hear Torah, so you call up one person, you read three psukim, and you're done. Inami Tlasav Gavra Tlasav Suke. Or maybe it was three people and three psukim, I don't know, because of Karnim Levim Yisraelim. But Ezra comes along and does what we're familiar with, which is three aliyahs, minimum of 10 psukim, except for when do you not do 10 psukim?
Purim.
Right, Purim is 9 psukim. But other than that, because that finishes the inyan. But other than that, Ezra does it. So what I wanted to bring these two origins for is to show you that really this is not about individuals. It's about the community. Right? These are communal enactments rather than personal enactments. It's the nation must have Torah. Therefore, we're going to do it. Or it's by the Moshe Moedei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. It has a communal sound to it. Now, in truth, this is subject to debate in terms of whether it's a communal mitzvah or a personal mitzvah, and there are different views on that score. Tosfos in Sukkah discusses this peripherally in source text. He's dealing with the problem of the shul in Alexandria, the mega shul. Right? If you remember, this is the very, very large shul, double the number of people who left Mitzrayim. I can't imagine what that looks like, 1.2 million people. Obviously, this is a very, very, very large shul, and everybody is there, and the guilds sit each one on their own, so that somebody new comes into shul who needs parnassus, he can go to his guild, and they'll help him, line him up with work instead of trying to compete with him. It's a beautiful, beautiful cooperative environment. But it's so large that the people in the back can't hear the chazan. Not because of noise from people talking, but they don't have to be large for that, but because of the size of the shul. So how do they know when they're supposed to say amen? So the answer is, somebody up front is waving sudarim, he's waving scarves, and he signals them when it's time for them to say amen. So Tosfos is bothered, because the Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to have an amen chatufa, which is a separate issue, and an amen yisoma. Different ways to explain amen yisoma, but one popular way to explain amen yisoma means an amen where you didn't actually hear the bracha. It is an orphan amen, it's not attached to a bracha. So Tosfos says, but that's exactly what they're doing there. So in source test, I brought you the Tosfos, who makes a distinction between two different types of brachos. I'm not going to read it inside, not because it's uninteresting, but because it doesn't directly bear on this, just the distinction he makes bears on this. And his distinction is that there are brachos which you are obligated in, and then there are brachos which you're not obligated in, but when you hear them, you say amen. So for example, let's say I am at the Shabbos table tonight, and Kiddush is going to be recited, and I need to hear Kiddush. So therefore, I am obligated in Kiddush, and then I can't answer an amen yisoma. I have to hear Kiddush in order to be eligible to respond amen. That's a bracha that I'm obligated in. And there, you have to hear the bracha. On the other hand, if I see Ephron across the room, and I see that he has an apple, not in the base medrash, outside the base medrash. He has an apple, and he's gonna eat the apple. So I see his lips move. I know he's making a bracha. I can sort of hear sound, but I didn't hear the words. So it's no big deal for me to say amen without actually having heard the bracha. With a caveat that Gemara mentions, you have to know that he's not somebody who's going to alter the words of the bracha for some kind of heresy, because you don't want to answer amen to heretical things. That's a bad thing. So, fine. But other than that, it's okay for me to answer amen without having heard the bracha. So what brachos are they saying in shul that you're not personally obligated in? Kriyas HaTorah. Because it's not for me, necessarily. It's just a communal mitzvah that the Torah should be read by the community. But if I don't hear it, not the end of the world. That's one approach to Kriyas HaTorah. The second approach that we'll bring is the approach explained by Ramosha in Source Yud. He looks at it differently. He says, no, Kriyas HaTorah actually is an obligation for each individual. Ramosha is dealing with a problem. The issue of a minor as a Kari Batara. We discussed this last year in discussing the issue of women's aliyos, so we spent a lot of time on it then. But actually, you know what, in the interest of time, just noticing it's 11:08, you can read the text itself, but I'll tell it to you outside. But what Ramosha says is, the way Kriyas HaTorah works is not Shomea Ka'one, but rather a mitzvah Shemia. Shomea Ka'one means, I hear a bracha, and then that counts as though I had said the bracha myself, like in the case of Kiddush. I hear Kiddush, I answer amen, it's as though I said the bracha. And Ramosha says, if that was what was going on in Kriyas HaTorah, then you would have a legitimate question about how a minor could potentially get an aliyah. How could he do it for me? Shomea Ka'ona doesn't work. If a minor makes Kiddush, he doesn't fulfill the obligation for me. But he says that's not what Kriyas HaTorah is. What Kriyas HaTorah is, and I underlined the word where you see it in Source Yud, is that I should hear people getting aliyos and leining. So Moshe understands that it actually is indeed a personal mitzvah, not a communal mitzvah, it's a personal mitzvah. And then there's a third view, which is really interesting. I brought you the Rambam in his Parish of Mishnayos in Source Yud Aleph, the Meiri as well in Source Yud Beis, where they suggest that only a certain number of aliyos are personal and then the rest are communal. The Rambam brings from one of the Gaonim that maybe three aliyos have to be heard personally, the rest of them communally. And the rest of them are just a community mitzvah. After you agree, the Meiri has this idea that maybe only one aliyah has to be heard by everybody. The point that I'm making is that there is a view that Kriyas HaTorah is indeed a communal mitzvah, and therefore, I don't actually have to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Now, please do not act on this view. In other words, when they start taking out the Sefer Torah, don't walk out of shul and say, well, I guess now I can go schmooze or have a drink or something, because it's a communal mitzvah, the community already heard it, I made sure there was a minyan, so I'm good. Please don't do that. That's a bad idea. But the application will be, when you come to me and say, is there any value in me hearing Kriyas HaTorah? Am I hearing the wrong parsha? So, or the question the other way, am I obligated to hear my parsha? The answer is, I'm not obligated to hear my parsha, because there's a minyan off in my shul in Toronto that's hearing the parsha. So I'm covered, so to speak.
Would that have ramifications for Shnei Mikra then?
We're getting to that as question number four.
Right, no, I'm saying like when you're supposed to be reading along with it. if you're doing, because if it's a communal mitzvah, maybe then there's no, according to this side, maybe there's no inyan that you have to light your lamp.
So Everett raises an interesting question. The question of whether you're able to, are you allowed to fulfill one of your readings of Shnei Mikra by reading aloud along with the person who is laning? So one concern is, well, then you're not going to hear the person laning. So you'll say, well, maybe I'm not obligated to hear the person laning. I would note there is a separate problem. One is not allowed to do other things during Kriyas HaTorah, even if he already fulfilled the mitzvah. I went to Lash Government and I heard laning. So I get up to shul, and I'm there because there's a bar mitzvah or something, or I'm waiting for the rabbi to give the drasha. So I hear Kriyas HaTorah, I want to read my own sefer. So that's not appropriate, because then you are showing disrespect for the public Kriya. There's a Marisayan issue, does everybody know you heard an earlier laning? But in general, it's disrespectful to Kriya Satara for you to say, I'm going to be involved in something else. You know? So we have for Rav Shesha, somebody like that, there may be a different story. But generally speaking, we say not to do other things. Now here you'll say, well, it's a Chumash in front of me and I'm laning. So maybe there is a hazard. Yeah.
Even if you say it's a personal mitzvah, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hear your own parsha. Meaning that
correctional
mitzvah could be, well, they're laying that in shul, and I have a mitzvah to hear that.
To hear a kriya.
Yeah, as opposed to chovas and sibur, I don't have to hear anything. I mean, I'm advocating leaving, but I don't have to hear anything. As long as it goes on, that's fine.
Right.
Personal mitzvah might be, I have to hear it, but I have to hear what's in shul, not I have to hear the order that, you know, the parsha that I'm missing.
If we believed that there was, in fact, an obligation to hear this parsha on this Shabbos, which we've already started to challenge, then I don't think I would agree with you.
Correct, but I'm saying even when Ramosha, if he's saying there's a mitzvah of Shmiah, that doesn't certainly mean Shmiah every, you know, last week or Shmini, this week it has to be Tashri.
Why not?
Kind of just means Shmiah, well, I have an obligation to hear what's being read in Shul.
But that Shul doesn't have the option of taking out the wrong Sefer and reading the wrong parsha.
Exactly.
So why should I be able to? In other words, according to what you're saying, my home shul could say this week we feel like laning Lech Lecha.
So, meaning, say your Yose, but...
But that's something we have to discuss.
Yeah.
But the point is, that's not something that we do. Until we get to the issue of Keva B'Parshios, we're not going to accept that idea. We're going to say that your shul has to lane Shmini this week. And if that's my mitzvah personally, then I have to lane Shmini this week. I think they're Hava HaTalia.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that could be his opinion. I'm just saying, theoretically, he could also, I mean, maybe it's a hybrid opinion of saying, there's a chova for the Tzibur to read Kriyas HaTorah, and you have a chiyuv to hear what the chiyuv of Tzibur is, but they don't have to be, I don't know why you have to say,
why do that?
What?
Why say that?
Because you're saying the whole institution was a community thing to begin with.
Right.
So then you have a key to hear what the community is going to read. If you're in a community, we should read something different.
But you're taking the side that it's a communal thing. I'm talking about if it's a personal thing.
I'm saying you can also see the personal thing could be within. I'm saying it's more of a hybrid. It could be within the community. I can see there an idea of being, there's a key to hear Kriya, just whatever the Tzibur is going to read.
That has to participate in a Kriya Sato.
Yeah. I don't know if that opinion exists.
I have not seen such a thing. I have not seen such a thing. I haven't seen anybody, for example, in the case in which you're an Anglo and you're off in Israel and you can't get an Anglo minion, they say you have an obligation to go hear Shmini there. That's what you're suggesting.
There would be a Kriya to hear. Yeah.
A Kriya that a Tzibur is obligated in.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody go that. It's an interesting idea, but I haven't seen. So, going back to where we are with this, one reason then, one point is to say that this is a communal mitzvah, not a personal one. So therefore, I don't have to hear what they were hearing back home. They're laning what they're laning back home. I don't need to hear my home parsha. That's number one. Number two, he takes us back to the point that he made before, the Shemir made before, which is that there is no obligation, he contends, to hear this parsha on this Shabbos per se. It's a remarkable idea. He says, there is lechatchila, a keva b'parshios. Lechatchila, yes, it's supposed to be this parsha on this week, and I'll prove it to you. Take a look at source Yud Gimel. The Gemara there is Torah Parsha Shkalim. Parsha Shkalim, the first of the Arba Parshios, comes from which parsha in the Torah? Kisisa. It's the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. That's how the Machzitz HaShekel appears. Good one for Parshas Shkalim. So, in a non-leap year, we end up leaning Parshas Shkalim somewhere in the range of Parshas Truma. And that's okay, because you leaned Truma for your seven Aliyos, and then Kisisa is what you're going to jump to from your second Torah, because we use two different Sifrei Torah. We're going to do Kisisa from the second Torah. All well and good. Everybody understands, because they had to flip pages in their Chumash, so they understand that this was a special leaning. But what happens, the Gemara asks, if it's Tetzaveh? The order of Parshios is Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa. So let's say Baal Kriya got up there and leaned seven Aliyos through Tetzaveh, and then his eighth Aliyah is going to come from Kisisa. People may not even realize that this was a special reading, that he ran long, or they don't even know that, because no one told him to turn the page, so to speak. I mean, this is a world where they don't have printed Chumashim anyway. But the point is, you have no way to demonstrate that this is actually a special Kriya Satora. So the Gemara asks, what do you do? Chalios, I added in, Parsha Shkalim, Beve'ata Tetzaveh. If Parsha Shkalim is on Tetzaveh, Amr Yitzchak Navcha, Karushisa Mivata Tetzaveh Ad Kisisa, Vachan Mikitisa Ad Reosisa. Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha says that's cool. Six aliyahs from Tetzaveh, one for Shkalim, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, and you're done. Abaye says no. Amr Abaye, Amri, Okume Hutakamokumi Hasam. People are going to say that you just happen to be reading from there then. They won't know. It's a special reading. Rather, El Amar Abaye, Karushisa Mivata Tetzaveh Ad Reosisa. He says, you know what you do? You go six aliyahs, starting from the beginning of Tetzaveh, running through Shkalim in Kisisa. You're going to go all the way through Shkalim. And then for your seventh Aliyah, he's not playing Shkalim as a Maftir. He's playing it as one of the seven. That's a separate discussion in the Gemara there. But V'chad, Tani V'kari Mikitisa Adv'asisa. The seventh Aliyah is going to be reading Shkalim again. When people hear you reading the same thing twice, they'll understand this is a special reading. Or I don't think you made a mistake. But that's what Abaye recommends. So says Rav Bezalel Stern, he says, look at that. Look at what you're doing there. If you didn't care which parsha you lean on which Shabbos, you know what he would tell you to do? Lean half of Tetzaveh this week. Stop short. And then jump to Shkalim. Or do a whole different parsha altogether. From the fact that they don't recommend that, we see that they do care about reading a set parsha each week. You follow? However, at the same time, he says, you see from the same Gemara that the Keva doesn't really matter so much, because they talk about it happening on Tetzaveh. In our Luach, it will never happen on Tetzaveh. We will never read Parsha Shkalim for Parsha Tetzaveh on our Luach. Tetzaveh will be Zohar if it's not a leap year. Never going to be Shkalim. Shkalim will always be, I believe, either Mishpatim or Truma. In our Luach. So he says, from the fact that it changed, right? From the fact that at some point they felt comfortable changing it, so we're clearly reading different parshios on different Shabbosos of the year, you see the Keva is not the be-all and end-all. And he brings you many different sources to back himself up. He brings one, the Or Zeruah in Source Yadali, which I'll explain outside in the interest of time. But the Or Zeruah, early Rishon, tells you a story about the city of Cologne. He has some shuvos in general that talk about things that happened in the city of Cologne. So what happened in this story is that someone was very angry about something within the community, we don't know what, but he got up when they took out the Torah, and he started screaming and yelling about whatever it was that bothered him. And it was so bad that they were supposed to lean Emor that Shabbos, and they just couldn't. The entire time, the entire day, as he puts it, they couldn't get to Kriya Satora, and they're just stuck with this guy and his fight. So they get to next Shabbos, and they want to know what to do. And they say, you should read Emor and Behar. It's a good thing it wasn't Behar B'chukosai. But they said, we're going to lane Emor, and we're also going to lane Behar, because you don't skip any parsha within it. So that's what you do. Now, if we really believed in Keva B'Parshios, the idea that a particular Parsha is read on a particular Shabbos, then once you lost Emor, that's it. In the same way that I have a Korban that I'm supposed to bring on Shabbos morning, right? And if the Korban isn't brought, we say, Amar Zmano Batla Korbano. You lost it. The time is gone. The Korban is gone. You can't bring it as a makeup. There's no such thing. You missed it. It's over. We don't say that regarding the Parsha. We say, Ein Keva B'Parshios. There is no fixed Parsha must be leaned on this Shabbos. That supports the view that Rabbi Sal Stern is putting forward. And he quotes others to support it. He has the Chasim Sofer. Chasim Sofer deals with a case in which a shul called off seven people, but it didn't finish the Parsha. So what do you do? So he says, you don't have to go back. There's no obligation to go back. He does quote an Aruch HaShulchan, which I brought you here in Source Tesvav. The Aruch HaShulchan deals with a case in which the community read the wrong Parsha. And he says that they need to go back. They are supposed to go back and read the right. He's having a completely separate discussion. His discussion is actually about where you made a mistake in the Monday and Thursday laning. The Aruch HaShulchan, in dealing with that case, says, I've explained elsewhere. He said, the Aruch HaShulchan deals with that and said that on the wrong parsha you'd have to go back. But Rav Stern says, don't be confused by that, because the reason he's saying that is because, for a completely separate point, the shul has to hear all the parshios every year. So the shul, if they don't go back today, is going to have to do it next week. So you might as well do it this week. If you have a choice, do it right. And that's why the Aruch HaShulchan said that. He does acknowledge that the Binyan Tzion, as well as others quoted in Pesachei Tshuva, Rechayim Kuflamet Hei, disagree with him. The Binyan Tzion I brought you in Source Tet Zayin. He deals with a case in which the Chazan made a mistake. And at Mincha on Shabbos, instead of reading from the beginning of the next week's Parsha, he read the middle of next week's Parsha. And then they found out the mistake after they called up three Olim. So is there an obligation for them to read the beginning of it? So his answer is yes. His answer is, it's Kisidron, it's supposed to be read in order, and therefore he says yes. So there are those who disagree with the position of Ein Keva B'Parshios, but he says that's the overwhelming view, and therefore, I just have a mitzvah of hearing a Kriyas HaTorah. I don't have to hear this Parsha, and so I can fulfill my obligation by going to shul and hearing what they're doing in Israel.
When the Aruch HaShulchan says you read it again, that's with brachas again?
Oh, you mean in the case of Tova Karu? Yeah, I think so.
In the case when you read the wrong part,
yeah.
The Shabbos and Tova Karu said that the body closer to the court of the
city. Yeah, I would believe so.
Well, when was that happening? Is Shabbos morning they read the wrong one?
Yeah.
And then they realized the mistake that right then and there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's where Stern reads it at any rate. So that's the idea. Now, does that mean then that I have no obligation to make up my parsha? Right? You're telling me it's a communal mitzvah, so my shul did it. Right? So maybe I don't have any obligation to make up my parsha. So first of all, the shul itself, to go back to the question that everyone asked, the shul has to read all the parshios. In the course of the year, a shul has to hear every parsha. And you see that in the Ramah in Source Yud Zayin, where he writes that if in a shul, Batlu Shabbos Achas Kriyas HaParsha B'Tzibur, if they didn't get through Kriyas HaTorah one Shabbos, for whatever reason they didn't do it, so next week they have to read that parsha along with the parsha that is relevant for that Shabbos. That's what has to be done. So a shul has to hear all of the parshios communally. An individual is not obligated to do so. The individual does not have to. However, if he can get such a minion, we say it's a good thing to do. But let me show you something interesting. In Source Yuches, I heard you guys laughing about this when you read this one. The Ha'ara in the Halich of Shlomo.
Oh, yes.
The Halich of Shlomo, from Shlomo Zalman Orbach on Tefillah here, says, B'nichlutz l'aretz abayim l'aretz Yisrael b'shanim she'in kriyas ha'parshiyos shava. People from outside of Israel who come to Israel when kriya, in fact, is not synchronized. U'mafsidim shmiyas parshas. They're missing a parsha. Ein tzrichim l'hashlim v'lishmo ha'parsha shechisru. They are not obligated to make up the parsha that they missed. The kriyas ha'tarah ha'bichavas tzibur, it's communal. So in the Ha'ara, he writes, Amnamim rotsim, if they want, Rashoim b'Shabbos haba likro l'kohen is kol ha'parsha shechisru. If they want, they can catch up and hear the entire parsha they missed as part of the first aliyah this week. Im aliyah rishona shel parsha nikras b'Eretz Yisrael, and they'll just run into rishon of the next week. So in other words, the guys who left Israel for Pesach this year, right? But they were in yeshiva in Israel, they're going to go back to Israel, God willing, in time for now, in time for this parsha, so they, if they want to make it up, so the first Olet is going to do Shmini through the first Aliyah of Parshas Tazria on their way to reading Adol Parsha of Tazria Mitzvah. That happened when I was in Karen B'Yavna, one of the years that happened, and that's what we did. However, he then has another Ha'ara on the Ha'ara. The Ha'ara is Ha'ara 16. They're quoting Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and they say that when individuals would ask Rosh Shlomo Zalman what to do, he said, don't do that. V'kasher shal oso ha-shoel. And when the questioner asked him, harei kasvo rabbeinu ha-gra, shekasher yatsa mi-beis ha-asur in karu lefanav, it should say, I retyped this, so I just made a mistake with it. Lefanav arba parshios, shechiser b'hiyos o b'beis ha-asurin. He says, but it says in the added part, the Tosefas, to the Maiserav, which records the practice of the Vilna Gaon. So it's recorded there that when he got out of jail, I don't know why the Vilna Gaon was in jail, I don't know what the story was. I imagine it had something to do with a lot of the turmoil going on in his day. But when he got out, so he had missed four parshios, and they indeed read them for him. So someone said to Shlomo Zalman, it says it in Maiserav. So he says, very good. Nozav Barabenu, he responded harshly, Ba'amar, ha'im ma'la ata b'daitecha she'incha b'dargaso sh'rabenu ha'graza alino k'chol ha'negosav. He says, you think you're the Gra now? The Gra did it, so that's clearly something I should be doing. That's a special thing. If you're the Gra, then you do that. Otherwise, not. In truth, many people still do it anyway. And the Nitei Gavriel recommends it, and Rav Avram David Horowitz in Kenyan Torah recommends that you extend the Shabbos Mincha reading, is his approach. Extend the Shabbos Mincha reading to include the entire Parsha Shmini as well as the first Aliyah of Parsha Tezriah.
Which Shabbos Mincha?
The previous one?
Yeah. Weird. But yes, that's what he recommends. He wants you to do it at Shabbos Mincha. Oh, I heard say this? I'm blank on his last name. He's the Gabbai Dashkan Minyan, who made Aliyah last year. So he reported that his Rav in Eretz Yisrael indeed recommended that.
Why does he say Mincha? Just so it's not piling up.
I'm not clear. It's brought in Kenyan Torah la Halacha Yud Beis. I didn't look it up to see why. I thought that was an interesting idea. But that's the upshot is, yes, there's this option for making up the parsha. Maybe it's a good thing to do, maybe it's not a good thing to do, but it's clearly not a chiyuv. We do view it as a communal kriya, plus this idea of not having a mitzvah of hearing a particular one. Of course, if you want to celebrate your siyum on Simchas Torah, you are going to make sure you catch this parsha one way or the other in terms of your own personal reading. And that brings us to the last section, for which we only have 2 minutes, and that is this issue of Shnayim Mikra. Let's say you have the following situation. An Anglo is in Israel for Pesach. He goes to Chutz Laretz after Pesach is over. So he's going to hear Parsha Shmini twice. When does he do Shnayim Mikra? So the answer is, do it the second time. Because the Gemara says, Yashlim Adam Parshiosa, one should complete his Parshios, since he's really a Ben Chutz Laretz, coming back to Chutz Laretz, that is his Parsha. That's what he says. That's what the Rebbe Zalal Stern says in the part that I brought you in Source Yutas. However, if he stays in Israel for the following Shabbos, so now he's going to be in Israel Shmini and Tezriah Metzorah. So he should do the first Parsha, Shmini, within 3 days after Parsha Shmini, as Tashlumen, because you can make up Shnayim Mikra. I mean, you could really make it up all year, but the ideal Tashlumen is make it up by Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So he should do Shmini after Shmini, and then he should do the new Parsha, Tezriah Metzorah. Then when he goes back to Chutz Laretz, where they're now behind him, and he has done Tezriah Metzorah, he's not obligated to repeat it. Rosh Stern says, it's like, this is all the piece that I brought you in the last Meir Makom, you can see it there. He says, it's just like when they lean on Yom Tov, we don't do Shnayim Mikra for the Yom Tov Kriya Satara because we hear it as part of our regular Parsha during the year, and we do Shnayim Mikra then. So he says, that's what, when you hear Tazriya Mitzara, you already covered it. So he says, that's what you should do. If you're an Anglo, you're in Israel for Pesach, and then you stay there for a couple of weeks, so eventually you do have to catch with them. You can't keep on not catching with them because you're going to miss Parshios. The Ben Chutz La'aretz who goes to Israel missing a Parsha, so what does he do then? In other words, my Parsha this week is Shmini. If I go to Israel between then and Tezriah Metzorah, right, I'm going to hear Achron Bas Kedoshim. I'm not going to hear Tezriah Metzorah. So then what do I do? So he says what I should do is, let's say I'm leaving, I'm making this up now, let's say I'm leaving on Monday for Israel. Right? So on Sunday, I should do Tezriah Metzorah, because my mitzvah, Shnayim Mikra, for the week began Shabbos afternoon. So I'll do Tezriah Metzorah before going to Israel, the beginning of the week, and then when I arrive in Israel, I'll do Achron Bas Kedoshim to be up with them, and it'll just be a lot of unklus that week. Clear? Sort of clear? We went through it a little quickly at the end, but I wanted to make sure to catch by 11:30. Josh, you had something?
Yeah, the Shnayim Mikra thing is funny also, because I mean, it's always like, yeah, 3 days, maybe we'll do it all week, maybe we'll do it all year. So yeah. Every time he's like, go through it, it's I think definitely
yeah.
It's really fine to do it. But what I was going to say is that Lemaisa, the B'Tzel Chokhma, says if it's Shabbos Yontiv, and you can't do the Yontiv laning, then you wouldn't do a separate laning, you wouldn't do the Shabbos laning either.
If it's Shabbos Yontiv, yeah.
And you can't do the Yontiv laning for whatever reason.
Right.
So the Baal Bukhir doesn't know that.
Yeah.
He said you wouldn't do the Shabbos laning either.
Oh, Lemaisa, he says not to. Yeah.
Which is weird because he says in Kevel Aparshios, but yeah. He says not to do that. So
what was his reasoning? I don't remember.
The only explanation, I didn't think he saw. The only explanation I thought was even though we say in Kevel Aparshios, maybe when it comes to Yontiv, there's an idea of Keva because it's of the Takanas Moshe of doing Inari Vioma.
Yeah,
and therefore, one is both of them together, so the Takana is only to Yontiv. If you can't do that, there is no Takana to do anything else.
If I go back and take a look, yeah. I looked at the week before Pesach, so I haven't seen it since. All right, Shkaya, having a job next week, God willing.